read our scripture text together tonight. Try to bring what I have. Trust it to be a blessing to your heart tonight. I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight, please. Oh, I better turn me on here. I believe I am on. All right, turn your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Again tonight, and chapter number 1, 1 Thessalonians, and chapter number 1 tonight, please. The Bible said in verse number 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that, and I trust you to pray with me tonight. All right? Our Father, I'm thankful for the help this morning in the morning hour. I thank you for the grace that was given, freedom and the liberty. I thank you, Lord, for the singing that we've enjoyed tonight, for our gathering once again together in the house of God. And I'd ask you tonight, Lord, to fill me with your Spirit, to anoint me, Lord, with that fresh oil and grant the liberty again tonight that I need to preach the Word of God. We are not here, Lord, to entertain, but we're here to glorify your wonderful name, to try to present Christ as the hope of the world, to glory in the cross upon which you died. We're here tonight, Lord, to try to exhort the people of God and edify this body in Christ. I pray that thy Spirit tonight would manifest your presence to us. I pray that hearts would be turned to God. Our thoughts, Lord, would be upward to Thee tonight. I pray again that You'll bless me with physical strength and with spiritual power to say what needs to be said in the service tonight. And help me, I pray, to preach it with grace and glory in my heart. And I'll thank You, Lord, for saving me. Thank You for calling me. And thank You for letting us be here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Well, I may have caught just a few smiles tonight when I read down through verse number 4. I don't want to disappoint anybody, but I'm not preaching on election tonight. However, if the Lord lets me next Sunday night, I will not dodge that verse. And I will do my best to preach on that Bible doctrine to some degree on next Sunday night, God being my helper. I don't know much about election, but what I do know is that you and I are to know we've got it. And Paul may have even himself knew to some degree that they had it. But tonight I'm going to be preaching out of verse number 3, where Paul said there, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Now, for those of you that were here on last Tuesday night, I know some of you men wasn't here, you were working. But those of you that were here, we looked at a threefold blessing that is found in the first chapter of the book of the Revelation. Blessed are they that read the Word of God, and they that not only read it, but they that hear it. And then those that keep the words of that prophecy. And a threefold blessing there. But tonight, here in the book of Thessalonians, we find three great graces that are divinely at work in the heart of every born-again child of God. And they're there for one reason, and that is to produce a Christian service. You know, and I'm amazed at the things in the Bible that I find that come in trios. Just like last Tuesday night, as we looked in the Revelation on that blessing. And then tonight, there is a threefold, or there's three graces, a trinity of graces that is found here in verse number 3. And I want to remind you now that Paul is writing to these people in the church at Thessalonica. And in verse number 2, he has given thanks to God. And he is also mentioning the fact that he is praying for these people. And the reason that he is doing that is because of their work of faith and their labor of love and the hope that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, a man, any pastor ought to be thankful when those three great graces are found in the hearts of people. For the Bible said, now abideth these, faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. And that's the three graces we find here in verse number 3. And if a man can find those at work in the lives of his people, he's certainly got something to be thankful about. He's got something to rejoice about. He ought to pray, Paul is praying, that these will abound in their life. What God has begun in their life, Paul wants to bring it to a place of maturity. And so he does in your life and my life tonight. That which God has begun in our life, church, when he saved us, he wants to bring that to a place of real maturity. Where we'll not just be saved and laborers, but we will be laborers that are bringing forth fruit for him. That will bring some of these virtues to fruition. That is, they will produce fruit within our lives. And I'll guarantee it'll not only make the man of God rejoice, but it'll make the Lord God himself rejoice of what grace has done in their lives. Now, Thomas Adams made this statement. Thomas Adams said, as the three principal colors of the rainbow, red, yellow, and blue, representing heat, light, and purifying power, supply in their combination all the other colors. So, by a sort of moral analysis, faith, hope, and love light the foundation or enter into the composition of all other Christian graces. I want to say how true that is. Whatever that we and you and I might be, I'll guarantee you the foundation of them will be faith, hope, and love. Those are the three great virtues that God mentions in the Bible. And at the foundation of everything that we do, we'll find one of those or all three of those. He said here that faith is found in their work. He said that love is found in their labor. He said that hope they have is found in waiting for the precious Lord Jesus from heaven. And oh, I'll tell you, they are three marvelous virtues for you and I as a child of God to have today. Faith says, I labor in full confidence that I shall finally accomplish all that I would. That is everything that we ever expect to accomplish in this life for God. We accomplish that by faith, and it is faith that makes you and I believe that we will finally accomplish all in our life that God wants us to. I'll never forget when I went off to Bible college, I thought a few times I'd never make it. But by faith, I kept on going. And there came a day in my life when I walked across that platform, a very happy young man, and thought that all of my worries were over. Boy, did I have a real surprise waiting for me. I thought that all the bad times were behind me. All the difficulties were behind me. I had finally arrived. But I'm going to tell you, it didn't take me long to realize I hadn't got quite there yet. That is absolutely right. I'd accomplished one millstone in my life. But there were many others down the road waiting on me. And I'll tell you, it will be faith, ladies and gentlemen, that will enable you to accomplish things in your life. But don't ever think when one thing gets behind you, that's the end of the line. There will always be something in your life to accomplish for God. We'll never get to a place where we have accomplished everything until the day we die. Paul said, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished the course. Paul wanted to finish the ministry that God had for him. He wanted to run that race and can cross the finish line in the will of God. And I believe God has got a perfect will for you and I. And it is faith that will enable us someday to cross that finish line in our life and look back and say, Lord, I've accomplished everything in this life that you wanted me to. Then it's love that says, I delight in my work and therefore will not slacken my efforts until I secure all I desire. It is that great love that we have for Him that will not let us lay down on God. I have found no place to stop. I found no place to let up. Somebody said this the other day, you're getting older, Brother Hall, you better back up a little bit. I said, I found no place to back up or back off. God called me to into salvation, and there's plenty of work to do there. But God also called me to preach the gospel, and there's a lot of work to do there. But God also called me to pastor this church, and there's a lot of work to do there. And I find no place to stop. No place to back up. And it's that great love that God has for me that enables me to keep on keeping on and keep on going for the Lord and not get slack in what I'm doing. I'm telling you, we live in a generation of people that want to slack up and back up and take a life of ease, the Bible calls that, setting down on our leaves. But I want to say to you that all the work God has for us has not been finished. And it ought to be the love of God that keeps you and I moving for Him in the right direction until the day He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Then I want to say that it's hope. Hope says, I can wait patiently for all that I joyfully anticipate. I'm looking for a brighter day. There's a better day down the road. How many times have you heard me say this, church? The better days are yet up ahead. I say hallelujah, they are. And not just better days up ahead as far as being in heaven, but better days up ahead for this church. He said in the Word of God, hey, the works that I do, and greater works will you do than these because I go to my Father. I'm telling you, God is not done with this church. God is not done with this people. And we're going to have to carry on, ladies and gentlemen, with our work of faith and our labor of love and our hope in the Lord Jesus until the trumpet sounds and He relieves us of our duties. Come on in the house now. May I say that faith looks back. It's faith that looks back to the cross. Love looks up. And hope looks out. And not any of them looks down. We don't have time to look down. If you look back to where you come from, you'll see the cross. If you look up, you'll see Him sitting on the throne in glory. Oh yes, if you look out, ladies and gentlemen, you'll see Him coming as a crowned king back to this earth. Thanks be unto God that He is a-coming someday. Faith is a telescope that enables us to see the unseen realities of the kingdom. Love is a tie that binds us to our Lord with cords that are stronger than death. Amen. And hope is attraction that causes us to live as strangers and pilgrims upon this earth. Bless His wonderful name. Thanks be unto God that it's His, that it's our faith, ladies and gentlemen. It is our faith that is a telescope that looks after the realities of our coming kingdom. Oh, yes. And it's a love. It's our a love that ties our hearts and binds them together in Christian love. And it's hope that gives us traction in this world. You'll read the book of Hebrews, you'll find that they all died in faith, having not received the promises, but they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and were persuaded that they were strangers and pilgrims in this land. I'll tell you, if you'll ever realize this world is not our final home, son, it'll help you out a whole lot. It'll help you work, it'll help you labor, it'll help you love, if you realize there's a treasure laid up over on the other side, and this world is not our final resting place. Amen. It's not our final possessions either. I've got a mansion on the other side. And it's not a cabin in the corner of glory land, it's a mansion, bless your heart, over on the other side. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Reserved in heaven for us. Bless His holy name. I'm trying to teach you some things tonight. Faith makes us work. You know what Brother James said? I'm sure you do. Oh my, I've marked it in the wrong Bible. But I shall find it. In this Bible, I hope. Oh, Brother James made this statement in James chapter 2. And verse number 18. I believe, yes, verse number 18. He said, "Yea, man, they say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Now, if you can get a hold of that, don't tell me that you've got faith unless that faith, ladies and gentlemen, has produced a works in your life for Christ. Oh, I'm telling you, this silent discipleship, and this just ain't got nothing to do ship, and this don't want to do anything ship, it don't cut it in Brother Hall's book. He talked about their work of faith, and James said, you might talk about your faith, but if you don't have works to back up your faith is vain, friend. Amen. I'll say this as far as, I've heard Brother Nolan say that God never called a preacher and didn't give him persimmon tree. He called every possum, gave him a persimmon tree, every possum in the country. Never preacher he called, he gave him a place to serve. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I'll say that also. That every Christian God's ever saved, he give them a place to serve too. Amen. Amen. No, sir, don't. Hey, I'm telling that dead faith is not going to get you into heaven. Now, there was a church that Paul said, thank God for them. Thank God for that little crowd of Thessalonica. They got a work to back up what they say they have in their heart. You better believe that's right. Amen. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that word works there means occupation. That was their occupation. The word labor, when it comes to love, is toil and hard work. I'll get to that in just a minute. But that was their occupation. They said, we've got an occupation, and it's working down at the house of God. We're not Levites, we're Christians. But Levites worked around the house of God with a priest, and I'm telling you that the children of God work around the house of God with a preacher. Oh, first of all, I don't have time to sign up on the work list out there. I don't have time to do nothing around this coming meeting. I wouldn't brag about how lost I was if I was you. I won't charge you a thing for that. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about a work of faith. If we really believe in something, we'll work for it. There, God, there's not a thing that you don't believe in, or everything you believe in, you'll work for it. If you believe in your children's education, you'll work toward it. That's right. If you believe that you're saved by the grace of God and going to heaven, there's rewards laid up on the other side, you'll work for that. Oh, James said, don't talk about your faith if you don't have any works to back up what you say you got. Amen. Is anybody listening tonight? Faith makes us work, but love makes us willing. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. That His love for you and I makes us willing. Why should we be willing to work? Because I'm going to tell you why. Because He first loved us that we might love Him. When I survey the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died, how can I not pick up His cross every day and come after Him? How can I not die daily, ladies and gentlemen? We must, because we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we're alive. Yet it's not us that's alive. It's Christ that's living in us. And the faith that we in the life we now live in the flesh. We live by the faith of the Son of God that loved us and gave Himself for us. I'm going to tell you, it's His wonderful love that He had before the foundation of the world for your soul and my soul. I'll tell you why people don't work. They're not willing to work. Is because they either they're lost or they do not understand God's love for them. He is not a taskmaster. Oh no, His yoke is easy. His burden is light, ladies and gentlemen. And when I think of His wonderful love for my soul, how He died such a horrible death, suffered at the hands of sinners, had His brow pierced with thorns and His side riven with a sword and His feet and hands pierced with nails. And as a lamb dumb led to the shears, He opened not His mouth. Bless His wonderful name, but laid down His life that I might have life. He has kept me out of hell tonight. I want to love Him because of that. I'm going to tell you, you will love Him if you've been regenerated, and you'll be willing. That love will make you willing. That faith will make you work. And that love, that hope will make you wait. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Are you waiting on Him tonight? Now don't blame me tonight. I can preach the horns off a billy goat tonight if you'd help me. And I could run my head through a wall this morning and somebody to help me. I mean, we was loose the goose, wound up tied on a banjo string and ready to roll. And I ain't have no trouble tonight. I just need a little help. Like that fellow said, one, I said, if anybody can say amen, I need it. Hallelujah. You hear what I'm saying? To wait. This crowd kicking out. Oh, I'm just, I just think I'll find another pasture to graze in. I've seen them sit in here and kick out. And the reason they kick out, there's no hope. They have no hope in Him. Glory to God, if I've got a hope in Him, look here, that hope will help me to realize that it may be morning, it may be noon, it may be evening, and it may be soon, I don't know when, but Jesus is coming again. And it gives me the patience to stand and wait and watch until He does come. I don't want to be like one of them five foolish virgins. Sit down without any oil in my lap, have a little religion and know God. That's a terrible thing to have religion without God. That's bondage. Religion without God is bondage. But old-time heartfelt salvation is liberty, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. I don't have to work. I love to. He didn't make me willing. I am willing. I enjoy waiting on Him. He's worth it. He'll be worth the wait. Come on, somebody help me. He'll be worth the wait. You know what some of y'all remind me of? A disappointed bride on her wedding night. Woke up and she didn't have her false teeth in. You hollered, "God help, what have I got a hold of?" Come on in the house now. Surely we're not disappointed in Him tonight. Surely we're not disappointed in His love tonight. Is He not worth our waiting for? He's only the most glorious, wonderful, blessed individual that I ever lived upon the planet Earth. He is the loveliest of the loveliest. He is the Lord of all the lords of the earth. He's the King of all the kings that ever lived. He is altogether the lovely one. He is worth waiting for tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. Holy Ghost just told me that some of y'all didn't appreciate what I said a minute ago. That's because you had your mind in the gutter. Mine wasn't there. Yours was. But don't blame me, neighbor. Won't charge anything for that either. Hallelujah. Work of faith. Labor of love. Hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice these virtues. They're the activity of grace within us. All three of them, faith, hope, and love, they are the activity of grace that is working inside of us. I'm glad grace is active, ladies and gentlemen. It's not dead and dormant, but it's working. It's active within us. Now I see three things here. Stay right with me, and we won't be all night long, I promise you. Number one, in that work of faith, Paul said, remember, and I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, and I'm thanking God for you. I remember without ceasing your work of faith. That is, their work never ceased. And His thought for them never ceased. But I see three things here. Number one, I see the ministry of the church. The ministry of the church. Your work of faith. Is that not the ministry of the church? God didn't leave us here to be drones. God left us here to work in the church. That's the ministry. God's given us a ministry here in the church. Amen. He said, your work of faith. Now listen carefully. Faith and works, I've done said this, are inseparable. He said, James 2:18, he said, yea, man, they say, thou hast faith and I have works. But show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Our works give evidence to our faith. They give evidence to our faith. Now, I want you to listen to me. I've said this years ago. I'm going to say it again. God doesn't have to know your heart by your works. But there is a crowd of people out there that is watching you and I. And they're not like the Lord. They cannot see your heart. All they see is your outward man. All they see is your works for God. And they're watching your works. That's right. You can't separate them. And it gives evidence to them. And the world is looking for somebody that's real. They're looking for somebody that's got the goods, folks. They're sick and tired of Jimmy Swigert. And they're tired of men like Oral Roberts. And they're tired of men like Billy Graham. They're looking for somebody that's real tonight. Whose faith will back up their works, and their works will sustain their faith to that crowd. They're looking for the real McCoy. Amen. What was it? I forget what somebody told me the other day, that Jimmy Swaggart apologized to his people for offending a sodomite. Wasn't that somebody that told me that in the church here? He apologized to his people because he had said something contrary to the sin of sodomy. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. That crowd out there is looking for somebody that's got the goods. Somebody that's got something that causes them to do more than sit 3 times a week on a pew. But that the love of God will constrain them to put their faith into works and their love into action. Are you listening? They can see the evidence. You have no right to tell anybody you're saved unless your life backs up what you say with your lips. Hey, I say to you tonight, come on, I'm not charging them for this. Look here, hey, anybody can quit smoking. Anybody can throw a television set out of their house. Anybody can put on the right kind of clothes. Huh? But it takes somebody that's got faith, hope, and charity, ladies and gentlemen. Faith, hope, and charity. To come to church and in the midst of trouble and trials and problems and difficulties, go on working for the Lord and loving the Lord and working in the house of God and waiting on God to return. And some of y'all sit down in here and you can't wait till church. That church is over. To get up and leave. And half the time you're here, you don't pay a bit of attention to what's going on. You've not got me convinced. How in God's name are you going to convince somebody out there? That's right, Brother Andy. God better help us. Paul looked at that church that was active and busy in the work of God. I mean, they were laboring, they were loving, they were living like they had what they said they had. And Paul looked back at the work and labor he had bestowed upon them and said, I'm praying for you and I'm thanking God for you because I remember the work of faith and labor of love and the hope that you have in Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I believe this, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I believe when Paul said, knowing this, brethren, beloved, your election of God, I believe that's how it goes, something to that effect. Not only did he, I believe that Paul not only indicating that they knew their election, but that he knew it by those three virtues in their life. I can't judge anybody in the heart. I don't know where your root's at, but I can sure look at the fruit. I can tell the difference between crab apples and them. Them golden ribbons is good, but I'm going to tell you what them kind I like, sweetheart. Them galas. Gala apples. Cut into one of them, it's just like sugar running out of them. Oh, they're good. I can tell the difference between a hedge apple and one of them galas. I'm not blind and I'm not ignorant, ladies and gentlemen. That is exactly right. Amen. Our works give evidence to our faith. Now I want to say that the ministry at work, I want everybody to get this. The ministry at work edifies the body of Christ. Look at Philippians, look at Ephesians with me. And chapter 4. And verses 11 and 12. Bible said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Listen to this. For the work of the ministry. He gave the church apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. For what reason, Brother Hall? For the perfecting of the saints. What are perfected saints supposed to do? For the work of the ministry. What does a working ministry do, Brother Hall? It edifies the body. Now I want to show you exactly, I want to illustrate you exactly what I'm talking about. How many folks here in 1996? Most of you in here, and Brother Andy wasn't here. Billy and his wife wasn't here. Y'all were here in 96, weren't you? Were y'all here in 96, brother? You were? She says no, and you say yes. In 96. Well, that made the point I want to make. I've used it so many times. You remember in that one afternoon service how our ladies come up here and stood over there in the hallway, so excited about what was going on? Do you remember, ladies, back in the kitchen when you started getting right with one another and confessing your faults and sins to one another? And in doing that, you worked as busy as beavers back there. And you were excited about what was going on. And the men were working. You didn't have to pull hen's teeth to get men to carry out trash or to vacuum a floor or to clean a bathroom. We were all involved in the work of the ministry. And I'm going to tell you what that work of the ministry done. It helped edify. You understand what edify is? To build up? Somebody said, well, I don't understand. I don't either, but he said that edifying, that work will build us up. If we're working together. It'll edify this church. You better believe it will. Praise God. I'm going to say people are not happy today. Because for one reason, they're not at work in the ministry. Now, you can work down on the job, and I wouldn't blame none of you for being unhappy out there. I don't see how some of you stand there. Really. I had to rub shoulders with some of the crowd I see out there every day. It just about drives me nuts.
Amen.
But I will say this, that that's no excuse for you not working here. And what work one does not do puts a load on somebody else. Anybody listening? Edifying, building us up. I never seen a church so happy in all my life as we was back then. You could come in here, somebody come in here and sit out in the pew, and you could sing a song, somebody jump up and holler, boom. Somebody could jump up and holler, you're all going to hell, and you'd shout it out. Because you're going, if they told you it's going to hell, you'd shout about it. You were just happy and knew that. You were edified. And the ministry was working. And the ministry edified us. And your faith, your works evidenced your faith. And it was that labor of love. You didn't mind working for Jesus back then. Why do we mind it so much now? Why has it gotten to be a drag? Why is it a chore? And I'll be the first to say this, it's not so much the women folks, it is the men. I still say our problem's with men. Sir, you're responsible for that home of yours. That man do right in the home. I don't believe any woman in this building would have a problem following her husband if he was doing right at home. Am I telling it right or not? And one reason maybe we're not happy at the house of God, maybe we're not happy at the house. I won't charge y'all nothing for that tonight. Well, I'm not going to make it. I hope I got friends in here because I sure ain't going to make none tonight. I can tell you that right now. Amen. Then I want to say that our works are examined by the Lord. Not only our works are evidence, our works give evidence to our faith. The ministry at work edifies the body, and our works are examined by the Lord. I want everybody to listen very carefully. Revelation 2:2. I know thy works. Revelation 2:9. I know thy works. Revelation 2:13. I know thy works. Revelation 2:19. I know thy works. Revelation 3:1. I know thy works. Revelation 3:8. I know thy works. Revelation 3:15. I know thy works. All seven churches. Seven's the number of completion. I'm going to tell you, if he knew their works, he knows ours too. and whether it's a work of faith. And I see, secondly, not only do I see the ministry of the church, but secondly, I see the master is in the center.
Amen.
Our work of faith and our labor of love. Our work of faith and our labor of love. Please notice where love is positioned here, right between faith and hope.
Amen.
Faith and works is an earthly thing. Hope is a heavenly thing. And our love is right now.
Amen.
Don't nobody leave me now. That tells me that that love is an intercessor and a mediator between faith and between hope.
Amen.
Am I getting through to anybody? Is anybody listening to me?
Amen.
Just exactly like Christ, that love points to the master in the middle.
Amen.
And just like he was in the middle of those two when he died on the cross, his love put him in the middle. It's love that put him in the middle of that sentence right there. Between faith and hope. He's there, ladies and gentlemen. Right in the center. Right in the middle. Right where he ought to be. I liked it. His love for us is the motivating factor. 1 John 3:10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation or a mercy seat for our sin." 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Please notice the word work refers to our occupation, while the word labor means to toil or hard work. And we're occupied. We've got an occupation, that is to work at the house of God. But our labor, our love is with labor. That's toil and hard work. Now, I don't want anybody to leave me. I see here the efforts of our love. That's what a labor of love is an effort. It is an effort of our love. That is, it puts itself to inconvenience for the sake of others. Do we really inconvenience ourselves for other people? The Lord inconvenienced Himself for you and I. But there's not too many times that you and I will inconvenience ourselves for somebody else. Like that certain Samaritan man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and found that fella lying in that ditch. Wounded, stripped, and bleeding. Robbed and naked. He didn't mind to get down in that ditch where that man was. That, ladies and gentlemen, was a labor of love. Toiling there. Inconveniencing himself for somebody else. I'll tell you, we have raised up the most selfish generation of people I've ever seen in my life. If it is not for us, then forget it. If it's not something that'll profit me, forget it. If I have to inconvenience myself to try to help somebody else, forget about it. If it comes naturally, I'll do it. If it's something that just comes about, I'll do it. But not if it calls for me to inconvenience myself. Whatever happened to going the second mile? If your neighbor tell you to go with him a mile, the Bible said you ought to go twain. Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to our concern and our love for somebody else? I know we're running slow. I can't help it. I'd like to run differently. Not only the efforts of our love, but I see here our labor of love. I see the efforts of our love, but I also see the eagerness of our love. We ought to be eager to do something for somebody else. That man, that good Samaritan, was eager to get down there in that ditch and do something for that wounded man.
Yes.
We shuffle our feet and him haul around and wonder about it. We can really do it. Are we eager about helping somebody else? Our neighbor? I'm going to be honest with you. If it wasn't for Doug and his boys, And Brother Steve, Brother Hall would have a hard time with things over around there anymore on that tractor. They tears me up. Them little old boys of Doug's get out there with weed eaters and they cut that grass. I've seen Doug give up his Saturdays to come in here and cut grass. He come over there at my house and cut grass. Inconvenience himself for somebody else. He's not here, so I can brag on him a little bit. You think I don't thank God for that? That is a labor of love, ladies and gentlemen. I've given them little old boys a couple pieces of money a few times. And they'll run and tell the dad, say, look what Poppy gave them. And I've heard them. He don't even know I'm listening. I've heard him tell them boys that. I wonder if we'd be guilty of that. But I'm doing it because I love them. I'm doing it for somebody else. I'm doing it unselfishly. My work of faith and labor of love. I'm toiling. I'm working. Really hard. Putting myself to an inconvenience somebody else. I've thought about the missionaries. I ain't done yet. You might as well hear me out. I've wondered about our missionaries. How faithful David Brainerd was to get in the snow and track up and down the East Coast carrying the gospel to those Indians. Fighting the elements. His efforts to save them led him to places and times that he had was very inconvenient to his living. I thought about David Livingston going through Africa on his knees and Jonathan Goforth to China. And I thought about the people back here. I thought so many times about that little old woman Brother Ballou talked about, preached about, that sent out money every year to those preachers and missionaries. I wonder if we really inconvenience ourselves for the sake of other people. Not much of it going on anymore. I see the effects of our love, too, in that. That fellow in that ditch wound up in the inn. That is the effects of the love of that Samaritan toward that man. I wonder when we get to glory. If we'll see the effects of our love in heaven with us. Or I wonder if there'll be folks at the great white throne that will weep with tears because of our calloused hearts and our self-complacency and our lack of love toward them. Anybody listening? A work of faith, a labor of love, and hope in the Lord Jesus. I see the enemy of our love, and that's a cold heart. And I'm telling you, it's just about like frigid lockers around here, including me. I don't set myself on a pedestal either. I'm telling you, a cold heart will never accomplish anything for God.
Amen.
A lack of love will never accomplish anything. If we ever win the battle, ladies and gentlemen, it'll be won because of our love for somebody else. Our love for Him and our love for them.
Amen.
Our love for the work. And if we love the work rightly, we won't mind working. The expectation of our love. Do we labor and not expect to reap? 1 Thessalonians 3:13 said, but ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. 2 Galatians 6:9 said, and let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then lastly, the work of faith, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. There's a lot to be preached on that patience. of hope in our Lord Jesus, our rewards now, His blessings now, and His rewards later. And I just simply put down here, the marvel of His coming. That's what that's all about, the marvel of His coming. He is coming again, ladies and gentlemen. He is coming again. His appearing, Titus said in 2:13, said, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And not only His appearing, but our appearance. You ought to get a hold of that one. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Are we willing to wait for Him in His appearing? And are we willing to wait at His appearing? Our appearance is going to change drastically. Does not yet appear what we're going to be. And I don't really know. And I'll be honest with you. I don't give a flip. Amen. Whatever it is will be perfect.
Amen.
I have no complaints about it. What about our faith and our love? Our hope tonight. We have enough to keep us churning?
Yes.
Work, labor, and love till Jesus comes. We sang an old song back at that little Southern Baptist church, toiling on, toiling on. Let us work, let us work. Let us watch, let us wait, and let us labor till the Master comes. There ain't much laboring today, folks.
Yes.
As little as we can get by with. Generally, it's not done in too much love. And then I wonder really in our heart, are we really looking upward? Or are we looking like Lot out at the well-watered plains? Wondering what the world has in store for us. Nothing. Nothing. Let's stand. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for Thy Word. It's been a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I thank You for the privilege of trying to preach. I pray that You'll bless us and help us. I ask You, Lord, to work in our hearts that which pleases Thee. Bring us to a place of real joy and thanksgiving. Working and laboring, watching and waiting and hoping. Till that precious day when Jesus shall appear in clouds of glory for us. But until then, help us to go on singing. Until then, help us go on rejoicing. I pray You'll bless Your people tonight as they travel home. Mercy upon the highways, a safe trip. Prepare our hearts for next Tuesday, a week. I'd ask You, Lord, to open doors we might see sinners saved and come to know You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.